Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Welcome to Completely Arbitrary, the podcast about tree cones and the things that grow them. My name is Casey Clapp. I am not going to relinquish control that I have usurped.
Wow. So we're not starting from the top.
All right. We can start from the top.
No, I think. I think we should continue with this. It has happened, Casey.
Every now and then I make a funny joke. You make a funny joke and then I just don't let it stop.
Sometimes when you go rogue, I don't know if you ever look at my face. But legitimately, I'm like, oh, fuck. And then I always
don't know how to fix this.
I don't know how to react. And then I always figure the best reaction is just to shine a light on it, as I do with many things.
Exactly. It's like improv. You just have to say yes and then keep going.
Yeah. And then point to the fact that you said yes.
Yes, exactly.
And comment on it.
Yeah. And
comedy, right?
It's comedy. It's a comedy of errors, I think is what it is.
Yeah.
Anyway, Alex, I'm sorry. I won't do it again. I know I always say that, then inevitably I do.
That's okay.
But I'll try not to for a while.
That's fine. I say you should have a ration book. So like once every few months, Casey gets to make Alex feel like shit and interrupt the show. And
no, I'm not making interrupt. Come on.
Introduce, not
that's,
interrupt.
All right, that's fair. Because, you know, it's just, you know, I guess, all right, you're right, maybe.
Listen, there's one thing I know about podcast listeners is that we like consistency.
Yes, exactly.
Which is the reason that early on I said I'm going to introduce each episode.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But they also like some variability when it's fun
and unpredictable variability.
Yeah,
and which is funny, Alex, because I don't know if you know this about me, but I many times love to be unpredictable.
I do know this about you.
It's Casey. A lot of fun.
Yeah,
and it keeps everyone on their toes.
This is an interesting dynamic of our relationship, not just as friends but as business partners. you thrive on being unpredictable. I thrive on predictability.
Yeah, I'm a wild card and you are always the same card.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We make it work.
Yeah. I literally tell you what tree we're gonna do 10 minutes before we do each thing. I don't know if everyone knows that.
That's not true.
All right, that's
I won't true. Have people believing that, Casey.
All right, that's okay.
Well, Casey, the tree we're talking about today, I've known about in advance for about 2 weeks.
Yes, you have.
We are talking about the Coulter Pine.
Oh, what an exciting tree this is today. We're getting a lot of conifers in this year.
We are.
Makes me feel good.
Pinus coulteri.
That's it.
Which, to me, sounds like a spell in Harry Potter.
Yes, Pinus coulteri.
Yes,
and you turn into a what? I don't know. You got to tell me.
A giant pine cone.
A giant spiky pine cone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you get thrown at someone. I assume it'd be a small. Would you be a life person-sized pine cone?
Good question. I think it would be small because that would be part of the curse.
Yeah.
Just tiny, you're rolling around on the floor, going to get crunched under somebody's foot.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds well. And then you're going to hurt their foot, though.
That's
if you're
right.
If you're a Pinus colteri.
The cone of today's pine.
That's right.
One of the biggest and spikiest of all time, Case.
I believe it is the heaviest of all conifers.
What a badge of honor.
Isn't it? Oh, a badge that will rip your shirt off.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
So let's imagine, Casey, that you and I are walking, I know where this one grows, through a Southern Californian forest.
That's right.
And we come across a colter pine, and you like a mother to her child in the front seat when she has to stop suddenly in the car, you put your hand in front of my chest, say, Alex, don't get any closer. This thing will kill you. Casey, let's talk colter pine.
Colter pine, Pinus colteri. It's funny when you said that, Pinus colteri, because I always pronounced it Pinus colterii, and that's not it. There's only one eye there.
There's only one eye. Yeah, this is not done. A Menziesii situation.
This is not. You did a, you opened my eyes to something, and I wanted to just keep acting like it, but in your spirit,
Thank
I wanted
you.
To shine a light on it.
Thank you.
Well, this is a tree. It grows down, as you said, Southern California. But what's funny about it is it is a, it's an open, like an open space tree. It's not a tree as many are up here in the north where they grow in big, gigantic forests. Right?
Oh, okay.
In the Southern Californian forests, everything is much more spread out. Where it does get dense, a lot of times they call it the chaparral, where there's a lot of like manzanitas and like other small growing plants and pine trees that grow in kind of the lowland areas. You've heard about the Southern California fires over the last several years, where it's like dry chaparral just goes up in flame. It's because that's what they do. I mean, there's these super dense, dry, like little shrubby things that are maybe, you know, 15, 20 feet tall. So as you go up in elevation, your trees get bigger. Same thing is up here, where as you go higher in elevation, that is where water is more likely to fall, just because of that orographic effect. As the clouds move up the side of a mountain, they then let down a little bit more rain because the water cools.
Yes, for an in-depth discussion on that orographic effect, check out our Ponderosa Pine episode.
It is right.
A couple months ago.
Well, so this tree grows up about, I think, about 3,000 or so feet in elevation around that area, kind of in the mountains of Southern California.
Okay.
And they grow in wide open groves. They're big trees, so they can get, I think one of the biggest ones is 140 some feet tall, but generally 80, 60, 100 feet. And they grow really interestingly in that their canopies are like, all of their branches grow straight up. So they have big limbs that come out, and they have all these twigs. So they look kind of like, I'm trying to think, what it would be? Almost like, not a feather duster. They look like you hang something upside down, and they all just kind of, everything falls, and they just kind of are hanging. I have a bunch of like obscure references in my brain, and none of them make any sense on
Give
a large
me one.
Scale. My grandma has a fake Christmas tree.
Okay.
And when you flip it up, all the branches kind of fall out to their spot. But then when you want to put it away, you flip it upside down, and all of those branches like fall forward and angle upright.
Casey, have you listened to this show before? That's a perfectly acceptable analogy.
All right, perfect. Okay. Yeah. Well, this looks like that top of that tree part, once you flip it upside down and everything kind of falls downwards and just kind of hang, but instead of hanging, they're growing straight up.
Yeah, the overall morphology, the shape of it doesn't look very much like a pine tree to
me.
Yeah,
it looks like a bush, like a big bush,
yeah.
Right? So it has all these branches that grow straight up, and each one kind of has a tuft of needles at the top.
Mm-hmm.
And then they kind of have these like, you know, almost like smoke columns coming down, where it's just like a bunch of like, it looks like something's exploding up and out, but mostly up.
Yeah.
And each one of those little columns will have these two big, gigantic cones right up next to the stem. These cones grow oppressed to the stem, and they get really big, like, you know, 6 inches wide minimum, and like almost 12 or 15 inches long. They get huge. I think one I heard dry weighed like 11 pounds.
Wow.
They're massive. They're literally the size of children.
Yes, the cones are frighteningly large.
Yeah.
And also, heavy for their size. They're dense.
They really are. They're huge, big, dense cones. Yeah. And this is for a good reason, obviously. They want to like keep things from getting into their seeds. But it's a lot of work. And so the branches are really stout. They also have really long needles. Their needles are probably about 12 inches long. They're in bundles of three. So very similar to the ponderosa pine in that regard. And but they're really big and long, so the tufts at the end of these branches look really big because you have them growing out in both directions. So you almost have like a big like plate like cross section of the whole branch with all of its little twigs and needles and everything coming out. And these trees get pretty big. Like there's a couple here in Oregon or here in Portland that they grow. They look like normal pine trees. Like, you know, they have one straight stem that's growing up and they have the branches that kind of come off. But at the very, very tippy top, you can see they're doing that. Like everything's growing up and out kind of motion or kind of effect. And they're just these dark green open grown trees. They don't grow in big forests all the time. And when they do, they develop that single stem kind of look. But the thing that, like I said, that you'll notice about these trees is that they will have these big, gigantic cones growing way up high, like 140 foot tall tree with cones at 135 feet.
Yeah. And, oh boy.
And then a squirrel jumps up there and the squirrel's like, there are delicious seeds inside this gigantic cone, but I can't get into it because those cones, not only do they have a heft like no one's business, they also have a little armed spike at the end of each individual cone scale.
Mm-hmm.
And those spikes, as you have felt on the one that you have here in your house, are like the talons of a falcon.
Yeah, they are very much, to me, they sort of remind me of like elephant tusks coming out of the side of this cone.
Yeah, right. But like a bunch of miniature ones covering the entire thing.
It's really barbaric looking.
It does. Yes, that's a perfect way to describe it. Like it looks like it's protecting itself from some like gigantic monster that could have ever existed.
Yeah, you could strap one of these on the end of a stick and have a pretty deadly weapon.
Yeah, what is that? Is that a mace that they used to do?
That would be a mace, or a morning star.
Yes, one of the two.
Yeah.
Well, other than that, it has bark. I shouldn't skip over and go straight to the meat of
It's so beautiful. This is sort of a scattershot ID, and I was getting a little anxiety over here.
I can see that.
We should have ended with the cone.
I see, but it's just such a good characteristic, you know?
Yeah, it's hard to jump to it. But let's talk bark.
Yeah, well, so the bark has the classic bark that you'd expect of a pine tree, where it is dark on the outside, but then has like these orange furrows on the inside. So the in between the older bark that's on the very, very outside at the end of the sort of the furrows on the furthest point away from the center of the tree is really kind of dark and gray and weathered. But then as you kind of go into the cracks, they have a lot of really orange tinges in between. And then it kind of fades from orange to brown as it's coming out and getting older and more weathered. Does that kind of make sense?
Sort of, yeah. It's like a jawbreaker how it has like different colors on the inside.
Exactly, yeah. But then the colors on the inside would be newer. They would have been produced in the more recent past, so they haven't faded yet.
I see.
And then they also grow up. They get really wide, but again, of course, their branches all kind of start to grow upright, and they get these really big, open, circular canopies, very much, like I said, a shrub, a big, gigantic shrub rather than a tree that kind of has that one stem and then branches coming from that.
Mm-hmm.
And it has, like I said, three needle pines, It is a three-needle pine. So it has all of its leaves, all of its needles are in bundles of three. Classically, there are bundles of two, bundles of three, and bundles of five. And that's what separates pine trees, except for a very few.
You've spoken about this needle bundle categorization before.
Yeah.
Can you give me one example of a species that is a two, a three, and a five?
Yes.
So what is a two? What's one species that's a two needle pine?
A shore pine.
Okay. And then a three needle pine, you could say the coulter, or what's one other three needle pine?
The ponderosa pine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, or the classic lovely Jeffrey pine.
They kind of remind me of each other.
They're very closely related.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay. And then the five needle pine.
Yeah, that's your western white pine or a sugar pine or an eastern white pine.
Wow.
Yeah.
What is the purpose behind the different bundles of Is it just that's just the way they grow? That's just the way it grows, man.
That's just the way it grows, man. Well, so hey, honestly, what's that? It's just the way it grows, man. With instead of a peace sign, just a two needle.
Oh my God!
You heard it here first, everybody.
Trademark.
Trademark. Quick. Get on the internet, Alex. So they don't grow like that necessarily for an evolutionary advantage kind of thing. Most likely what happened is that there was some way back when a pine tree just ended up having something go wrong and it developed instead of three or instead of two, it grew five or two or three or whatever.
Okay.
But then that tree was really successful and then it split into other subgroups.
I think you just described evolution to me, right?
I think on a very surface level, I think I did, yeah.
There's like a mutation, and then it just so happens that that does pretty well and fucks a lot and makes a lot of babies.
That mutation fucks.
That mutation fucks.
Oh, man. It does, clearly. Well, so that is exactly the case. And so we call these, we call the things that are Coulter pines and their ilk, we call them hard pines. And there's a bunch of different species of, quote, hard pines out there.
Hard pine.
Yeah. And so you know how, like, we would say we have, like, softwood versus hardwood?
Oh, this is a case of wood density.
Yes, exactly. And so the hard pine is in the subgenus Pinus. And that, as a subgenus, like I said, it's kind of like split into a certain, you know, place. And these are trees that have the hard, like hardwood, hard woody cones as opposed to, say, less woody cones or cones that are, or has wood that's just a little bit softer. So Pinus ponderosa, the reason that it's called Pinus ponderosa is because the wood is so heavy and dense and hard because it's ponderous, you know? So the ponderosa pine, the Jeffrey pine, Torrey pine, Coulter pine, the Foothills pine, which looks a lot like the Coulter pine, those are all really, really closely related on the phylogenetic scale. So if you're making that classic family tree, they are all grouped in one family, and the next closest family has the next closest species, I guess, would be like the knob cone pine, but that is a different species altogether. But most of these all have those three needles.
Wow.
So there are some that don't have three needles, that actually just have two needles, that are also still in this hard pine sort of subgenus.
Okay.
But that goes back to all these other weird genetic things that we're not going to get into, really. But these are all trees that kind of have these, you know, they're all in this one subgenus and they all have these harder woody cones and harder wood, period.
I think I just made a connection.
Oh.
You know, like sometimes you will present a dot.
Sure.
And then 3 weeks later, you'll present another dot.
Okay.
And then like a month later, you'll say something and suddenly I connect those two dots.
Hey,
like, all right. Really slowly learning these things about science and trees and stuff.
Okay. What is it this time?
Well, I connected a little dot and I had to, you saw me on my computer Googling over here because I wanted to get a good example. But like, Casey, I play video games.
Okay, I've heard of them.
I really like RPGs.
Ah, yeah.
Stands for role-playing games.
Mm-hmm.
Usually in an RPG, you pick a class of character. So a class may be a fighter. This is all specifically coming from D&D.
Okay.
A fighter or a warlock or a cleric or a ranger, right? Mm-hmm. But then under those classes, so you can kind of think of those as like families.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. In the scientific world,
mm-hmm.
I think family is the one. No. Yeah. Family is the one above genus.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Family, okay. Genus, species.
Okay. So those are like families, right?
Yeah.
But then like if you're, say, you might be like a fighter and you might be like a swordsman or a protector, right? So those are two different kinds of under the fighter class. Yeah. Those are like subclasses.
Gotcha.
So what I'm realizing here, and those would be like genre.
Yes.
So what I'm realizing here is that like the grouping of these trees reminds me of video games.
That's perfect. Yeah. I mean, or
that's about as far as the usefulness of this analogy goes. But I just connected a dot and I wanted to say, hey, I connected a dot.
That's perfect, because that helps. If it connects a dot and helps anyone be able to, like, you know, take all of this and, like, organize it in their brain, it does make everything we're talking about so much simpler to understand.
Yeah.
Where all we do as humans is just classify things and put them in subclassifications and larger classifications. Mm-hmm. So if we can just keep adding them up and keep making them into new big things, and the new classifications that we can make sense of, then all of a sudden we see the patterns and we can make sense of the entire world.
Yes.
Whether or not those patterns are real, that's a huge philosophical question, isn't it?
Well, we make our own patterns sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. And we can call those real because we made them. And
that's right.
We certainly have the science to say, well, these trees are all related and here's how they're related. And there's just this, you know, interesting view of laying that out, just like what you're talking about, where there's this family tree of splits into splits into splits, and then you can see them all laid out in front of you really cohesively.
Yeah, and I just realized that under the pine class, as it were, which is confusing because class is a...
It's another technical term,
But I'm using the class in the RPG sense.
I think it's very fair.
That there is a subclass of the hard pine.
Precisely.
Which is kind of a fascinating
There you go. Well, that is thank you. That's all I have to say.
Okay. And with that, Casey, we take a quick break, but we also tease a very special guest. Today, we are talking to Tobin Mitnick.
I'm so excited.
At Jews Love Trees on Instagram.
The funniest thing.
A huge inspiration for this podcast. One of Casey is an absolute fanboy of this man.
That's true.
I
showed him to everybody.
You did. You showed him to me and said, hey, can we do something like this? And whoops, sorry, Casey.
Here we are.
We made something so much worse. We are talking to Tobin about cones, about trees, about all sorts of fun things.
Mm-hmm. Including this tree, the Coulter Pine, specifically.
That's right.
He's got some experience with it.
Wow. I can't wait to find out what.
That's perfect.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with more Completely Arbitrary. Casey.
Hi, Alex.
You know something about me?
I do.
And you do know this, that I love to be cozy.
Yes, that is very true. Unfortunately, I have to get you out of your bed to do work, because our studio here is small.
Yeah, Casey physically drags me out of bed every morning. And you know what?
Slap a pair of headphones on.
And you know what I'm sleeping on, Casey?
What are you sleeping on today, Alex?
My brand new Cozy Earth bedding.
Oh, Alex, I heard about this.
And you know what I'm sleeping in?
What?
My brand new Cozy Earth jogger set.
Ooh, hold on. Let me get a feel of that. Not your sheet. I'm getting my own sheet.
That's right.
Ooh, this is smooth.
Casey is wrapped in his new Cozy Earth bedding. Now, Casey just returned from Italy.
Just got back.
Land of soft fabrics.
Exactly.
And he has waiting for him products from our brand new sponsor, Cozy Earth. Casey, what do you think?
This is incredible. I don't think I've ever felt something so soft and so, like, I don't know. It feels silky and smooth and it looks beautiful.
It's true, Casey. And you know what? I have been sleeping in my Cozy Earth clothing.
Well, Alex, have you noticed anything about your sleep?
I have been sleeping so well. And here are some things I love about sleeping in my Cozy Earth bedding and my Cozy Earth clothes.
Yeah.
This is no longer officially an ad. This is just me talking.
Hey, let everyone just come on in. Just come on in here.
Casey, it is temperature regulating, so I no longer have any problems with getting too warm, getting too cool, having to get up and shut the window, having to get up and open the window, turn the heat on, turn the heat off. I sleep through the night. Soon I'll be eating solid foods. And I have such a good time doing it. Casey, I know you've been traveling, you've been flying, you've been not sleeping in your own bed. I cannot tell you how excited I am for you to try this brand new Cozy Earth bedding.
I cannot tell you how much I agree. Just feeling it, I'm essentially swaddled in a sheet right now, Alex.
That's right,
and
you are.
I cannot tell you how excited. I'm going to wash this. I'm going to throw it on my bed today.
Hell yeah.
So if you want to be as cozy as Alex and I, then go to CozyEarth.com and after you purchase, enter the promo code TREES, T-R-E-E-S, to get 35% off. That's huge.
And Casey, how about this? All of Cozy Earth's products come with a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty. I don't have that kind of warranty on my tires.
I don't have that kind of warranty on anything.
So go to CozyEarth.com and use promo code TREES for 35% off. Now go and get cozy.
Yeah, you go get cozy now.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hi, everybody. It's Alex here. And you know what? Come springtime, those trees are a-blooming. Those people are a-walking around. That sun is a-shining. And it makes me so grateful for my social life. People are wanting to do things again. And it can be extremely rewarding to start to see friends more often and, you know, go on cute friend dates or romantical dates, sit on a patio and drink a coffee. Ooh la la. But it's really easy to overdo it. And for me, it's very important to keep an eye on my social battery. Every time I go on a social outing, I come home and I'm like, wow, I am really tired in a very specific way. Well, that's my battery. That's my social battery being drained. And I didn't really have this language until I started going to therapy. I didn't know why being around people made me so exhausted, even though I love those people and enjoy being around them. But therapy helped me with my self-awareness and helped me unlock some language that I didn't otherwise have. And if you are struggling with feelings and thoughts that you don't understand, therapy can be a great way to unlock the power of understanding. And a great way to start is BetterHelp. It's completely online and it's designed to be super convenient and flexible, which is very important. How many times have you had a therapy session on the calendar and that time rolls around and you think, I gotta drive all the way across town. I am not gonna go. It has, of course, happened to me. I'm sure it's happened to everybody who's been in therapy. No worries with BetterHelp. It's all online. And all you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, of course. And nobody nails it on their first time. It's like going on dates. You gotta find the right therapist for you. It's silly to think that the very first date you ever go on is going to be your future spouse. So you can switch therapists at any time, no additional charge. It's extremely easy. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/trees today to get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/trees. Happy spring! Welcome back to Completely Arbitrary. Today we're talking Coulter Pine. Casey.
Alex, we have a surprise guest.
Wow. Today we have a very special, very cool guest, a writer, an actor, and a sometimes naturalist, and most importantly, a Jew who loves trees. Jews loves trees. Tobin Mitnick.
Jews loves trees.
Hi, Tobin.
Hey, guys. I'm so happy to be here as a representative of the group Jews Loves Trees, as Alex so wonderfully just introduced me.
You are, I think, the CEO and the spokesperson. So just to be very clear, whatever you say right now, we are going to take as a representative statement from that entity.
Yeah, tweets are endorsements. Okay, absolutely.
I fucked up, okay? I fucked up. It's Jews love trees, clearly. It's common English. It was a grammatical error. Tobin, thank you so much for being here with us today. We are tickled and delighted to have you.
I'm so happy to be here, guys. I really am. I've been looking forward to this for the past 3 weeks of our technical fuck-ups.
Yeah, we've tried our best, haven't we?
We originally booked like 3 weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah, it's been an odyssey to get you here, but here you are. Here's a question for you, though. Mm-hmm. I'd love to hear how you got interested in nature, in tree things specifically. Also, I you're sort of a you come across as a bit of a cone enthusiast.
Oh,
and today we're talking Coulter pine, which sports an incredible cone.
Mm.
Where does your affinity for cone love come from, and how did you get your start in comedy and tree stuff?
Well, comedy and that kind of stuff is just, you know, the Pavlovian response to attention, being the youngest child in my household. It's not more romantic than that. I don't have I wanted to make my grandfather laugh. No, I don't have any of those kind of stories. Yeah. It's just like, I like the attention in performing and kept me really busy.
Strictly narcissism.
Did the thing where, you know, you get your theater degree and then you find out that, like, nobody cares about that. And then, like, you... Go ahead.
It's so funny you say that. I studied theater for like 2 years in college and then was at the same time studying trees because I like took a class and I was outperforming almost everyone in the trees class and getting like C's in the theater classes. And I was like, I gotta go. This isn't for me.
What college was this where they hand out C's in theater classes? I thought it was... All like it B was, plus A minus.
You might have heard of it. Juilliard was the name of it.
Sure. Yeah. They grade really harshly, I hear. Yeah.
It's a small liberal arts college.
I think it was an attendance issue, probably.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, and then the interest in comedy, just did a lot of improv in college. I still weave that stuff into my videos. That's the stuff I love. But cones and trees and naturalism and that kind of stuff was... I would kind of go a year and a half, 2 years when I was very young, bopping around between different naturalistic interests from sharks. And then they kind of just stick, you know, like you get really, really into something and you're maybe 50% as into it as you were for the rest of your life. Like that's how it was for me. So I had like a shark period, then I had a weather period, and then I had a mineralogy and gemstone period, and then I had an ancient shark and fossil period, and that led into
it's like putting them both together. Yeah.
And then I was so into that kind of stuff that I was really, really into petrified wood. And all the different kind of colorful manifestations in which it comes. I grew up in the forest in Pennsylvania, around a lot of hemlock and a lot of, you know, beautiful oak and poplar and that kind of thing. And, my dad, we had this window in our kitchen where my dad had put 6 or 7 enormous pine cones, one of which was the Coulter pine cone, and one of them, I think, the Jeffrey as well. And they lined this window, and looking into my backyard, we had a barn. And the barn was kind of bisected in its view by this apple tree and this magnolia tree, which is the most important tree to me growing up. And it always just created this really beautiful vista to look out upon. And I always kind of looked at those particular pine cones, and I was like, where do they come from? My dad's like, oh, out west, you know, they come from out west. And I was like, whoa,
the mythical out west.
Yeah, mythical out west. Yeah. And I remember looking up like redwood in the World Book Encyclopedia and just seeing like that one painting that I think is on the front of the Overstory of the guys on horseback like walking through the and being like, whoa, these things are really mythical out there. And then the interest kind of like sat dormant while I did other things, you know. Failed in a lot of sports.
More my speed now.
Yeah. Right. Hey, baby.
Now we're talking.
I didn't forget about you, Croson. And then when I moved out to California, I was like, oh, I'm amongst these things now. I can like go explore a little bit more. And then that really ramped up once the pandemic hit and I needed something to do in my backyard and I got really, really into bonsai.
Yeah.
A legend was born
as he drinks from a golden chalice.
It's an algene.
It's, I misidentified that clearly.
Oh, the mystique. So, Tobin, today we're talking Coulter pine. Do you have any, now you, every time, I've noticed every time I say the words Coulter pine, you behave as if you've just taken a bite of some delicious food. And so I would...
Interesting. See, I think it's food that's not quite delicious, but like maybe like a strong thing that you're like, this is kind of bitter. I don't like it that much.
Wow.
Yeah, I think we're getting different... we need some clarity on this.
Well, we're going to find out here.
It is good.
Let's hear your initial thoughts on the Coulter pine. Do you have an experience with the Coulter pine specifically?
So, Coulter pine. What can I say about the Coulter pine?
Oh, wow.
One time I tried to find a Coulter pine cone that was as big as my infant child. and I succeeded.
Yeah.
And I put the pine cone, which was 13 inches long, into her car seat, and it looked as though the Coulter pine cone was riding in a car seat.
That's a funny bit.
It's right there, Alex.
Oh, yeah, God, you've pulled up all my videos.
It's brilliant.
What a horror show.
That's Oh, yeah.
This is terrible.
Speaking of your first video, I have to cut in. Your mustache was incredible.
It was really intense last summer, wasn't it?
God, it was just... Okay, anyway, sorry. Back to the Coulter Pine. Alex is going to be so mad that I'm interrupting with mustache comments.
Well, I can always edit, Casey.
Casey, is this book one of your... Is this book in your collection? I suspect it is.
Is it not right here next to me?
Is it right in your hand?
Wow. Simply Casey and Tobin stunning. Have just held up the same book. What book is this?
I love this book.
This book is called Conifers of California by Ronald M. Lanner. That's so funny because I actually picked this one up years ago. I only bring certain books over here to record, and I've brought it over both times specifically for the Coulter Pine.
Wow.
Brilliant.
Ron Lanner, if you can check out that picture in the back, Ron Lanner is from Brooklyn. He is reclining on a fence. He looks like somebody who... would have like auditioned for the role of Vincent Gambini and My Cousin Vinny.
Yeah. Okay. He also looks a little bit like Joe Pesci, I think.
He does. No, that's right. Yes. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. I refer to him as Tree Bay just because I love his writing. Ron Lanner. Guys, remember this. And he has like five or six different books. Like, he loves conifers, I think, as much as both Casey and I both do. I love him. The opening paragraph to his description of the Coulter Pine in this starts with a description of historical tree pettiness amongst fledgling naturalists.
Wow.
He says, imagine Thomas Coulter's self-satisfaction, perhaps bordering on gloating, as he stood on a steep, glassy slope in the Santa Lucia Range one fine day in late 1831. I won't read the rest of it to you. But
what an intro.
The gist is, he got one over on David Douglas.
Our glorious David Douglas.
Wow.
That's right. Because a pal of his actually named the Coulter Pine after him, with the biggest pine cones.
Oh my God.
Isn't that brilliant?
Incredible.
I love that, like, bordering on gloating.
Incredible. Incredible.
So good.
That's a cool move. That falls in line with and no offense to either of you, because neither of you fall into this camp, but the naturalists that I've run into so far making this podcast.
They're all similar behavior. They're all a little bit like they all want to name a tree after themselves, but like the standard is you don't. Someone else has to do it.
Right.
So I feel like there's just a little bit of like each time a new tree is discovered, they're kind of like waiting for the paper to come out to be like, did you name it after me? And then when it doesn't that way, you're just like, oh my God, I hate everybody.
That's a tough life.
But
that's
come on, what else is, yeah, what else does Coulter have to his name? Nothing.
That's the thing. I mean, like, why not just say, you know what, fuck this tradition. This is the Croson Pine, and I'm proud of it.
You know what? I bet you I would be fine with that. I'll name one after me. You name one after you. Except I don't know how many more pines we can find.
And the problem there is I will never go searching for a pine, and you will. Yeah.
All right, that's fair. All right. Ooh.
But one more thing I just wanted to say about the Coulter Pine.
Please.
I can't believe how brash it is, and I can't believe how aggressive it is.
Mm. It's stunning.
It's stunning. It has these incredibly large cones that drop. I mean, I'm sure Casey will give a more anatomical definition of them. But am I going to steal your thunder here if I talk about the moniker Widowmaker?
No, I have no thunder to be stolen.
The nickname in early logger times for the Coulter Pine was the Widowmaker because it would kill loggers. Because of the like 8-pound resinous cones falling and just and killing men.
Wow.
This is before hard hats were like a standard procedure.
Yep.
Well, here we'll just end it at that then. That sometimes the Coulter Pine, let's just put it this way, it's not to be messed with.
No.
Where sometimes the Coulter Pine will bite back, so to speak.
A most violent tree.
A most violent tree, because like you said, it does have these 8 pound cones that are like 120 feet in the air sometimes. When you were walking around trying to find one for your sapling, it was like actively, they were way up in the canopy. Like you couldn't just like casually climb the tree. They're like, imagine the potential energy they have and when they fall. It's like a bowling ball, Alex.
Yeah. So I have a question about that, Casey, actually. Cones fall from trees.
Yes.
You walk around in any forest, the forest floor covered in cones.
Generally.
Not any forest.
Over right here in the west. Yeah.
You know what I mean.
We got you.
So when a cone falls, what is happening? Why does that cone fall? Does the tree allow it to fall? Does it get dried out? What's happening there?
Well, interestingly, there's a couple different things. So sometimes it is just that the cones will naturally fall because they open up, they release their seeds. The seeds have wings many times and they flutter away, right? So that's dispersal. Yeah. So once the cones have been opened and released, then there's not really any reason for the tree to like keep them. As the tree grows, they probably abscess right on that area. The same as when you drop your old leaves, they basically close that off and then it becomes more or less a decaying piece of wood. So it just kind of slowly decays and falls away.
They close that off as in they stop funneling resources to it?
Yes, they compartmentalize it away.
Oh, yeah. And then it just kind of like...
Yeah, just kind of falls off in the wind and, you know, whatever. But with the coulter pine, or rather, I should go back. Some other trees will hold on to their cones for a really long time, and that is because they are serotonous most of the time, where they hold on to their cones on the tree because that's the safest spot for them. If they do fall, they'll hit the ground, and usually a squirrel or something would get them, or a mouse or something like that. But they'll hold on to them, and they keep them really tight so that when a fire comes through, then they open it up. That's like the lodgepole pine, the table mountain pine, the coulter pine, a lot of different species. And they keep it really tight. That way, a fire comes through, whoosh, and then it'll open up its seeds after the fires come through, killed off all the competition, and left a gorgeous mix of soil and nutrients on the ground to just be immediately so the seed can immediately germinate.
I see.
However, in the case of the coulter pine, sometimes they are chewed off right from the top. I know. I love that. I need to have a visceral reaction to a tree every time I say coulter pine.
Can
I
try? I'm done. Okay, I'm done. I can't keep going.
Oh, I baited it though that time.
I was like, oh no, I gotta do this bit now when Alex talked about it. But I'm closing the door on the bit so that Casey can go ahead.
Oh, I love it. Never.
You're erecting a gravestone on this bit. On the bit.
Well, that's right. Turns out that on the coulter pine, they will get knocked off by squirrels. Squirrels have basically been like, it's too pokey. They're too heavy. I can't break them apart. So they climb up and they actually eat the top off and then go find them on the ground and they chew them from the base of the scale up because that's where the seeds are and that's where there's no pokey things to them. That's how they get to them.
The base of the scale up.
Yeah, so here, I've lifted over this cone. See this? See that bottom part?
So Casey's showing me the bottom of a coulter pine cone. It is, what exactly? The part where it connects to the tree.
Let me grab mine.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Now you're looking at it? Okay, so we're all looking at a coulter pine cone. So on the very bottom, there's the stem, and as that goes up and becomes, or has the cone scales coming off of it, that would be called the axis, or the main axis where all the cone scales are attached. Right. Spirally arranged, but that, there's no pokes there. Like, you can just kind of move your finger, it doesn't hurt. If you try to go between the scales from the outside, you're just going to get jammed up by all these huge, gigantic, talon-like spikes.
Right.
So the squirrel will actually go and break off the whole thing from the tree. It'll hit the ground. It'll climb down, and it will start nibbling around the very bottom from the bottom up on the cone. That way, it can rip off each one of the cone scales, not have to deal with all the really sharp things, and eat its delicious gigantic seeds. There you have it.
Does that cone have any seeds in it?
I don't know if it does. Let me look.
Shake it all about. Hey, one just fell out.
Nope, that's not one. That's just detritus.
Oh, it's just a leaf.
Yeah, I don't see any. They've all gone.
Well, the cone did its job then.
It did. It did its job.
It evacuated the seeds before it fell off the tree.
Well, that's it. Yeah. So in this case, I know.
Thanks for that reaction, everyone. Feel so supported.
Wow. Alex, that had such a beautiful childishness about it.
Yeah.
That's my role in this.
The squirrel did its job. So the squirrel knew what to do. He saved the seed.
That's the perfect descriptor.
So the tree's going to be okay?
The tree's going to be just fine, buddy. Here's some
squirrel's really smart.
I still have not been able to find a good reason as to why the coulter pine is so huge.
Isn't that ridiculous?
Why do you think why do you think the coulter pine cone is so large? If you had to take a guess.
Because it isn't afraid to speak its truth.
There you go. Yeah. This is an empowered tree.
Wow. This is an empowered tree who said, you know what? I'm going to sacrifice the height of the ponderosa, I'm going to sacrifice the height of the ponderosa.
Yeah,
that's it. That's the older brother that it was scorning.
It's a maximalist. It's the Michael Bay of pine trees, mm-hmm. and it was born that way. It knew who it was, and now it's famous. What can I say? Is there a more notorious pine tree?
No.
Wow.
I don't think there is. I think this is the bad boy of pine trees. This is the Nicolas Cage of pine trees.
Ugh, yeah. The Mickey Rourke. The Mickey Rourke of pine trees.
The Mickey Rourke of the 80s, maybe.
Yeah.
Can I give an analogy for my world?
Yes.
So if you are playing an RPG video game, right? And you chose a warrior, okay?
Kind of like Battlefront? Or...
Oh, Lord.
Sorry.
I don't know where to begin with that. We'll talk later. And you choose a warrior, okay? You have different stats. You have strength. You have intelligence. You have agility. You have constitution. Mm. You may want to put a few points in each of them, but basically focus on strength. But if you don't have enough constitution, you're a glass cannon.
Yeah, all right.
So the coulter pine is the warrior that pumped literally every point it had into strength.
Right. Yes. Right. And it's got nothing else. Like, it's a little bit dumb, you know?
And for somebody like, from my world, that's a Chansey with 120 hit points, but no other valuable... Chansey was a Pokemon.
I was going to say, no clue. I was just going to smile and be like, yeah, that's it. Yeah,
No, everybody was like, well, yeah, Chansey, 120 hit points, but what does it do? I was like, I don't know. I just collect them. I like the hollows. I think they look pretty.
Yeah, seriously. I just push this on my wall.
He has sleep. He has flop, I think. Well, with that, Tobin, Casey, let's get into our review of the coulter pine. We've tipped our hand a little, but I'm so excited to see what our golden cone scores are. Tobin, it's your first time on the podcast. Mm-hmm. Here is how this works. We'll go around, give some final thoughts on this pine tree, and then give it a rating of 0 to 10 golden cones of honor. Tobin, as our esteemed guest, we will begin with you.
Okay. pluses about the coulter pine. Like I said, isn't afraid to speak its truth. Isn't afraid to just go all out and kill human beings, which is admirable if imprisonable. And I think that it's just so much fun to it. You know, the bark isn't that interesting. The presentation of the tree, it's not like stick straight and kind of like beautiful to look at, like a redwood or a ponderosa pine. It's like a little, it can schmoop a little bit. It's kind of stout. The branches are a little heavy. The needles are really, really long. But it is so much fun to go on a hike at like 4,000 feet or something like that and like spend some time with some people looking at these gargantuan examples of nature. And I think about the wonderful times and like the past few years that I've had doing that. And also the fact that it can be a great kind of, if you're trying to like escape from prison, and your baby is with you for one reason or another, you can take a coulter pine cone and put it under the covers and the guard will think that the pine cone is your baby.
Yeah.
And for that reason, mostly I'm going to give it an 8.8.
Mm-hmm. 8.8 golden cones of honor for the coulter pine cone from Tobin Mitnick. I fuck up your last name.
Yeah, no, Tobin Meticulous Croson. Way to fucking go. Yeah,
I'm so sorry. My second flub of the night.
Wow.
Of many, surely. A lovely score. Wow. Casey, clap.
Mm-hmm.
It's your turn.
Okay. This one's really hard for me. It's really hard for me. As I have said multiple times, I like a tree that fights back a little bit, you know, like the strangler fig, where the strangler fig's like, I make my own destiny, and it like, you know, kills its father so that it can become, you know, a big tree. So it's, I think it's a pretty cool tree. I like that it has these gigantic cones, a superlative tree to say the least, at least a superlative cone. As one who's like, has literally getting them tattooed, I can't get this tattooed on me because I think it would take up too much space.
Wow.
It would be bigger than both of the trees that I have tattooed on me, which I think is a little bit untenable. Anyway, I think that this tree should be high on the scale, but not too high, because also, like, it speaks for itself in terms of, you know, I'm the biggest, this is the hugest thing in the world, fear me. But at the same time, the Douglas fir, you know, the Jeffrey pine, the sugar pine will just be like, man, I'm just gonna grow way taller and just be way cooler. I mean, think of the sugar pine, it's grace. It's grace, Alex. It's perfect.
It's graceful.
Anyway, all right. So I'm like the 8.8 because I think it's good. It has the chutzpah that it needs, but I think it does. It just puts itself out there a little bit too much, where it's just kind of like, look at me, you know, I got the biggest cones. I think for that it should lose a little bit. I'm going to go like 8.2. I want it to be a little more cool. I want it to be a little more, a little subtle. I know. I do. I have to say. Like I said, I like a tree that you don't want to mess with, where as soon as you take an axe to it, each strike of the axe on that tree is a warning from that tree to, like, get out there. Like, it's actively like a bee's nest that it will fight back at any moment. I think it's pretty great.
Well said.
All right, 8.2 is what I say, Alex.
8.2 Golden Cones of Honor from Casey Clapp. Renowned dendrologist Casey Clapp.
Jeez, you keep saying that.
The Coulter Pine.
What do you think, Alex?
I got to be real with you guys.
Do you want to hold the cone? Alex is now holding the cone. You can give it back if you need. It's okay.
It's abrasive. Quite dried out. This cone is big, but this particular one is not that heavy, I think, because it's so dry.
Yeah.
Take this back, please. I can't think. Please forgive me. You looked ridiculous.
Yeah.
It was like someone who's never had a child holding a child out. Like, I don't know what to do with it.
Oh, yeah. Straight arm child.
Yeah, exactly. That. Yeah.
Tobin, Casey, forgive me.
Oh.
For I have sinned. I'm not that impressed by the Coulter Pine. I appreciate that it is a superlative tree.
Mm. Has this appreciation, this
huge cone.
Okay, great.
It is a killing machine. I like that. It is built to kill, this thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bit of a one-trick pony, if you ask me.
Oh, I see.
Wow.
Uh-oh.
Wow. I'm not impressed by its morphology, by its overall shape.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you can hear my child crying as you're saying all of these things. Yeah. But.
Oh, no.
Jeez,
she's
Alex.
Judging you.
I never meant to make a child cry. It's like a Christmas song.
From Santa Claus?
Yeah.
What kind of Christmas is you having lately, buddy? Huh.
I don't want to talk about it. Listen, I think it's fine. I think the Coulter Pine is okay. I would give the Coulter Pine cone like a 9 out of 10, okay?
Mm-hmm.
However, a tree is not its cone. And don't you start going with the scientific, actually.
Yeah, you're right.
A tree is not its cone.
That's two of you that hate science over there.
I'm very anti-science. Everybody knows this. A list of things I'm anti.
That's on the top 5.
Yeah. I'm going to give this tree a 6.0.
6.0.
I'm not crazy about it.
I think that's fair. It's...
But like I said, the cone gets a 9. The cone's great. The tree, even with the cone on it, is a 6. I see.
Even though it holds like 10 or 30 of these at a time.
Yeah.
Okay.
10 to 30.
Yeah, 10 to 30. No more, no less.
Wow.
2 to 4, 5 to 10, 10 to 30.
You know, somewhere there.
Typical
somewhere
interval.
2 to 50 or so, depending on the time of year.
What a score, Alex. I think that's reasonable. Honestly, I appreciate your aesthetic eye to these kinds of things.
Well, I appreciate you appreciating me. Mm-hmm. Thank you, guys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I feel supported. And that was our review of the Coulter Pine. It's time for a game. Tobin, Casey.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We call this one Family Tree.
Oh, this is one of my favorites.
I don't know this one.
Oh, you're going to have a blast. Well, I will not be doing the theme song today. I would never let Tobin see me do this.
Tobin, turn off your camera real fast, would you?
gosh.
Here's how it works, Tobin. I'm going to introduce a famous group from media. It could be the cast of a sitcom. It could be a group of mythological gods, Casey, we've done before. We are then going to assign each member of the group a tree based on their personality, possibly their physical appearance.
Attributes of any sort.
Yes. And the group that we are talking about this week, Tobin.
Oh, my God.
The Fellowship of the Ring.
Ah, that's why you guys asked me. I'm so excited now.
That's right. Wow. All right, here we go. We are going to start with, I would say, the man himself, Frodo Baggins.
Okay.
Ooh, wow. Oh, wow.
The bearer of the ring, a hobbit, enjoys, I don't know. It's been a while since I've touched the books.
Yeah, he's finer things in life.
Yeah.
But not like too fine, you know?
What can we say about Frodo, Tobin?
Frodo is duty bound. He's loyal. He's
pernicious.
He's, what do you say?
Pernicious.
Pernicious?
Yeah,
one more time.
Pernicious.
Okay.
Yeah, someone look that up for me. Tell me if I'm using it right.
This is Casey Clapp. He says something and then thinks about what he says.
Never mind. Take it back. He's not.
I thought pernicious had a negative connotation.
It does.
I
it turns Tobin, out it does. Does.
I'm so sorry. Pernicious is negative. So
precocious, perhaps?
Yeah, let's go precocious. Yeah.
But also, I would say that he's, and of course, you got to pick a small tree just because he's a hobbit.
Which wow. Like,
you got to do it, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, yeah, maybe we'll give Samwise a redwood, whatever.
Oh, wow.
But why don't we start? We'll give Frodo the, we'll give Frodo the pinion pine.
Ooh, the pinion. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or pinion.
Yeah.
Let's see. Because it is often overlooked. But it is the backbone and important of so many parts of American indigenous agriculture, and just such an important tree. And without it, we probably wouldn't be alive in this half of the country.
I think that's very fair. That is, was super important. However, small of stature. What do you think, Alex? Do you have anyone yet?
You know what? It's a good look for me to agree with Tobin. The pinion pine.
That's fair. So this is not good. No one's probably not going to like this one. I was actually thinking the eastern white cedar, Thuja occidentalis.
Wow.
And
the reason I thought of that, we've of course covered that. It's the dreaded arborvitae.
Yeah, you hate that tree.
I hate the arborvitae, but I love the species that grows natively, like up in Arcata National Park. Is that right? Did I say that one correctly this time?
Oh, God, I don't know.
I think
know.
I did.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
Yeah, the Manian National Kerfuffle. Park. We'll leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, so that, when it grows up there, it's a small stature tree. It clings to the sides of rocks and like the cliff of the Hudson River and things like that. So I like that it grows as if it is climbing up Mount Doom, slowly but surely, marching up ever so surely. Never gets quite too tall, hardworking, gets battered by snow every year. That's what I'm going to go with.
Fantastic. Up next, we have the Ranger.
Mm.
The true king of Gondor? Yes.
Yes, that's
Aragorn.
Right.
Strider, if you're nasty.
Okay.
What do we think about Aragorn?
He lives for a long time, doesn't he? Like a little bit longer than a normal human.
That's right. He's 87 years old in. Oh, sorry. Is he 83? I can't remember. God,
oh,
one of the
God.
Two. Yeah, he is blessed with long life.
Yeah, I thought we brought an expert on.
Direct descendant, blessed with long life. Gosh, that's right. Okay, so he has to be something. Oh, well, I mean, there's only really one. I think that narrows it down to another group of pines out west. Either like a bristlecone, a foxtail, or like lodgepoles grow pretty long as well, don't they?
Yes, yeah, some junipers too. Yeah, foxtail does.
Oh yeah, some junipers get really freaking old.
Yeah, because what's the species of tree that's on the place? Gondor. Don't they have like that dead sticky tree?
Oh well, I don't think they give a species of it, but it looks a lot like some limber pines.
Mm.
So we could go with limber pines since
I like limber pine.
Physically, it represents him the most. Even if in stature, it is quite inferior to the presence and importance that he has within the context of the novels.
True. And as an 80-year-old, he's pretty limber still.
That's true.
I'm thinking I'm going to go with that.
At least What's-Her-Name thinks so.
Yeah,
Arwen.
Arwen, thank you.
Yeah,
Arwen.
We're all like, yeah, we love the Lord of the Rings. What's the main character's name? Popo?
I have an idea for this one.
All right.
Last week's episode, we talked about the American chestnut. Mm. It was once called the King of the Forest. Mm-hmm. It was decimated by a plague of trees.
Oh my God.
The chestnut blight.
Right.
However, it will return. It will rise up again.
Yes.
The Return of the King was the name of that episode.
Yep.
So I'm going American Chestnut, Casey.
That's beautiful.
That's the best answer.
That's stunning.
Thank you, guys.
Honestly, that's why you're here, Alex. You know that, right?
Next up, we have Mr. Tagalong himself.
Mm.
But for my money, the true hero. We're talking Samwise Gamgee.
If he takes one step further, it'll be the furthest away he's ever been.
From the Shire.
That's right.
Or from home.
I get shivers just thinking about it.
I do get shivers just thinking about it. It's like they say in the old stories, Mr. Frodo.
It's like they say.
Love it.
Oh, man.
Really, you know, my favorite movie of them all is probably The Fellowship, but my favorite moment in all three of them is the ending of The Two Towers, where he does that speech where I lose it every time. I love it so much.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It really is.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do we think, guys, for Samwise?
Honestly, it has to be another small tree, I think, because he's a hobbit, right?
But he's
a little bit rounder of a hobbit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, like, the first thing that came to my brain is, like, an olive tree. But, like, an old, old olive. Like, an ancient one from Italy.
Okay,
sure.
Just because, for some reason, like, they're not really, but they kind of, like, a little round. They look a little, you know, ancient.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it ends. Honestly, I just kind of picture I picture Samwise's cheeks as like these little rosy olives.
I think I would call Samwise an aspen.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that I would call Samwise an aspen is because it's not that big.
Mm-hmm.
But it is the most widespread tree in America, right?
Wow.
Waking aspen.
That's right.
And I think that goes to show that everybody has a Samwise in their life. If they think hard enough about who that is.
That's true.
And perhaps they're not that far away.
Constantly reproducing.
And I'm going to melt into a puddle. And
wow. That was very touching, Tobin.
Everyone loves Sam. He's the scorn of everybody's jokes, the butt of them, but everyone else loves him to death.
Also, they have that propensity for growing as a clonal tree.
That's true.
And I think that goes to show you how much Sam thinks about community and his love of the Shire.
True. Yeah. Well put.
Wow. That was a very thoughtful answer. Tobin, who is your Samwise?
Who's my Samwise? Oh, I have a lot of Samwises, but my wife is my Samwise. She believes in me when I don't believe in myself. And I would be, I don't know where I would be. I might not be dead if I never met her, but I certainly wouldn't be very alive.
At the bottom of Mount Doom, if you will.
Yeah.
Wives, you got to love them, huh,
yeah,
Case?
Yep, I think so.
You and me, a couple of married, happy men.
Who do we got next, Alex?
Next, we have, this is a bit of a fun one, okay, you guys?
All right, okay.
He's a golem.
Get ready to have fun. No, although that would be so much better if it followed the fellow. I guess he's kind of a.
Is it
he's,
Tom Bombadil?
It's Tom Bombadil's girlfriend. What was her name?
Oh.
So this one we're going. We're Legolas and Gimli. Okay.
Fabulous.
Kind of a classic pair.
Yeah.
A C-3PO and a R2-D2, if you will. Although they're not comic relief. Well, they are sort of comic relief. We can get into that later. Here's the criteria for the Legolas and Gimli one. Okay. Mm-hmm. Legolas, a tree. Gimli, a mushroom, a fungal associate.
I love that we did that. That's so funny.
I'm going to leave the mushroom to you, Casey, because the only mushrooms I can tell you gentlemen about are cremenes or oyster mushrooms. Mmm, delicious.
Wow. This guy knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, he does.
Oh, my God. Wait, if I say a tree, Will Casey be able to say a mushroom that pairs well with it?
Oh, like God.
Yes.
Oh, don't put me here.
Could I?
Try. Well,
I'll give you a treat.
Okay.
The stakes are so low, you guys.
Yeah.
I will say a really familiar tree to you, a tree that you spend a lot of time around and that you talk at length on this program, which, of course, is a Douglas fir for Legolas, just because it lives for freaking ever. There are legends of Douglas firs actually being like 40 to 50 to 60 feet taller than the tallest redwoods right now. And they have that legendary quality about them, like elves do. So I'm going to give you the Douglas fir.
I think that's perfect. I was thinking of another tree, but because this was I have to give a Gimli for this, that would easily be the Dyer's polypore.
Yeah, where, man.
It's never quite on the tree. Usually it's about, 3 feet away, coming up from the ground, because he's a dwarf. That's what they do. They live underground, right? Most of the time. They mine for things.
Nice.
And I think that's good. I can't think of a fungus that a Douglas fir would throw, though. So that's what makes it more difficult.
Casey, you've sniped my joke.
Oh, yes.
All right. Well done, you both.
Well done.
We have one more. We have one more here.
All right. Who do we got?
One of my favorite characters, not just from The Lord of the Rings, but period. We're talking the tall man.
Dumbledore.
Albus Dumbledore.
Oh, God. He was so good in The Two Towers.
Of course, we're talking Gandalf, the Dumbledore of Lord of the Rings.
Yep, okay.
Gandalf.
All right, the Yoda of the Lord of the Rings.
The gray wizard turned the white wizard. Maybe there's something we could play with.
There is plenty, yeah. This one, it's difficult for me not to go with something like a bristlecone pine for this.
Yeah, old wise.
Old wise turns white and when in its old age, you know, that kind of stuff.
Wow, nice.
Oh, that one's hard. See, I was thinking of like a baobab.
Ooh, yeah.
A baobab.
A baobab tree, yeah. They grow in Madagascar and Africa. I think there's like one species in like Australia. But they're also like really gray, white barked, and they lose their leaves in the dry season, and then they pop back in the wet season. But they also have these like incredibly gorgeous flowers, and they just look like these huge sentinels out on the open plains. And they, I think, like I haven't done too much research on them yet, but I've heard a lot of like indigenous history with them, because they're such monoliths out in the middle of what otherwise is a tiny treed desert. But that's the one that I would think of, like right off the top of my
head. I mean, baobabs can grow real old and real wide around the base as well.
We can't even tell how old they are, because they fill their trunks with water, and that's like how they go about their lives. But then that also makes them decay quicker, so no one can actually drill into them and be like, oh, this is how old they are. So we can only guess and be like, oh, it's about this old probably, in like the several hundreds of years.
That's how I repel people from drilling into me, is I fill myself with water.
Yeah.
That's a smart move. It really sprays at them. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Well, the other one I was thinking of is like a eucalyptus, like the mountain ash eucalyptus trees, because they're just like super big, like completely white. They dominate wherever they grow. They're huge. Yeah, that's a thought.
Well, I am going to divert a little bit with both of you on this Gandalf tree.
All right.
I'm going to say that Gandalf is one of my favorite trees that we've ever covered. The Metasequoia glyptostriboides, the Dawn Redwood.
Metasequoia glyptostriboides, I love it.
That's right. sounds delicious.
I'll have one of those.
A living fossil. Gandalf is essentially an angel.
Good call.
And also, it is a conifer, but it is a deciduous conifer, so it loses its needles, but not before turning brilliantly orange yellow,
like going down in flames.
Yes, he is a phoenix rising from the ashes.
You fools!
That's right.
Honestly, I'm going to start putting a sign on all the Dawn Redwoods that I see that just says "Run, you fools!"
Run, you fools!
Right during fall,
the Balrog of autumn takes the life.
So why are you in the slammer? I put signs
on trees.
It's a long story.
Yeah, it's a long story, but keep your distance.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So I think Gandalf is the Don.
Okay,
Redwood.
I think that's very fair, Alex. I think it's actually probably this has been the most like metaphorical and like well thought out round of this game, I think.
Yeah, I think we've all done a great job.
Well done, everybody.
Well, thank you for inviting me into the old pathetic fallacy anthropomorphism sphere. It's one of the ones in which I flourish.
Hey, anytime. That's where we flourish, but honestly, sometimes I don't think we shine near as bright.
Right. Nobody does it like the king. That was Family Tree. Tobin Mitnick, thank you so gosh darn much for being with us today.
Simply stunning.
We've had an absolute blast with you.
Thank you guys so much for having me on. I hope people will have stayed all the way to the end.
A slightly higher retention rate than our abysmal usual. Tobin, do you have anything to plug? You want to shout out anything that you do?
Not really. You can check me out at Jews Love Trees on Instagram and on TikTok. I'm hoping to, I compressed everything into the tiny format, and now I'm hoping to use what I found in the tiny format to blow it all up into the bigger format again. Mm-hmm. So hopefully you'll see me in a medium that's not entirely social media and destruction of society based very soon.
Hey, hell yeah.
We're all shooting for the stars, you know?
Jews Love Trees, the movie.
That's right.
I feel like that's almost a Lego movie waiting to happen.
I can see
it. Yeah, it is.
It writes itself.
I got plans.
Hey, see, it's time for our completely arbitrary Q&A. This week's question is from Guinevere Knight, possibly my favorite named person we've ever
dealt with. It is very medieval, isn't it?
It is. Congrats, Guinevere, on the cool name.
Yeah.
When a tree is cut down, asks Guinevere, sometimes the stump will grow a new tree.
Yes.
If a 15-year-old maple in my backyard gets cut down and the tree sends up new growth, is that tree still considered to be 15 years old?
Oh.
Or does the counting start all over again?
Aha.
Will the new tree only have the potential to live as long as the original tree would have? Or is it a full restart despite the already mature root system?
So curious.
Very fascinating question. It's almost a philosophical question.
It really is, Alex. I'm glad you actually brought that up. Quite specifically, you and I, we've talked a couple different times about like layering, and like Pando, perfect example.
Yeah.
Where each individual stem could be 70, 80 years old.
Yeah.
However, the root system itself as one cohesive large unit could be tens of thousands of years old.
Right.
So that is the real question that I think she's getting at here, Guinevere, is if you are counting the rings of the tree, then that's going to be however many rings there are there. Give it another 15 years, you now have a 15-year-old stem, but you have a 30-year-old organism, right?
Right, because the trunk or the roots are a different organ than the stem.
But the same actual organism in terms of like one thing, one, yeah. DNA sequence of things. How can we burrow or take an organism down to its finest thing.
Oh, refine it?
Yes, refine it down to it's simply one DNA sequence that's the same.
I see.
You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I think so, but I'm not like smart enough to come up with anything.
Yeah, neither am I. We'll come up with it some other time. But I would say that, no, that is the same organism. The tree, I would count it personally. I mean, if you have the stump there, then you know what? I think if we're going to count Pando as a tens of thousands of year old organism, then that tree at another 15 years is a 30-year-old organism, one living thing.
Interesting.
However, will it live as long as the thing? So let's say those trees live to be 100 years old. Now this new stem would only be able to grow to 85 years, then it would die, right?
Okay.
If that tree was only able to live as long as the whole thing was alive. But that goes down to the idea that trees are always going to try to live as long as they can. and they will be alive until they are dead. So, I know it's a funny way to put it, Alex. You just giggled about it. I think it's the right way to say it.
It's good.
And the reason that I say it like that is that that tree could, if the root system is still alive, then those new stems that have shot up, those are going to be, you know, starting the tree over. It doesn't start the clock over,
right.
You know? But the thing is, a clock for a tree is not the same as a clock for a human, where as long as it can just withstand that the decay that would come in and, you know, doesn't fall apart, you know, nothing gets it, so to speak, then the tree's just going to keep living. There is no official, like, top, you know, line that they can't cross in terms of age.
Yeah.
So the tree, I would say, is the clock started when it was a seed that sprouted. That's when it started.
Cool.
And then it'll just keep on cooking.
No resets.
I don't think so. You can't start over. You get one shot.
Very cool. Thank you, Guinevere, for your question. If you have a question for trees or Casey about trees, email us at arbitrarypod@gmail.com. You can follow our Instagram at arbitrarypod. That's A-R-B-O-R-T-R-A-R-Y pod. Or you can join the Patreon, support the podcast monetarily. And in return, you get 2 bonus episodes a month. Or for the Cone of the Month Club, you get a unique cone sticker illustrated by an independent artist every single month in a cute little envelope in the mail.
Yep. Also, I might join because I have questions to ask trees, Alex, and I didn't know that we could ask trees questions. Okay. I have lists.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
Okay, so just let me know where to sign up for that.
Casey.
What an episode, Alex.
Yeah.
My God.
A bit of an experiment for our podcast.
Thank you to Tobin for joining in on that experiment.
Yes, big shout out to Tobin Mitnick at Jews Love Trees on Instagram.
He's definitely followed.
He's a hoot, yeah.
Thanks for joining in this experience.
Wow, I'm stunned. So, Casey.
Alex.
Until next time, my friend.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for listening to Completely Arbitrary. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye. Are you gonna say goodbye?
Goodbye. Completely Arbitrary is produced by Alex Croson and Casey Clapp.
Our artwork is by Jillian Barthold, and our music is by Aves and the Mini Vandals.
And you can support the podcast at patreon.com/arbitrarypod.
And find additional readings at completelyarbitrary.com. Thanks for listening.